I am not like these niggas, I be penicillin' in the cut. That mean I'm chillin' in the cut. Made a million in the cut. I'm Balenciaga challenge, tryna find my balance. All set with the bag, that mean I ain't going outside. My melodies came from everything I came.
Hello guys, and welcome back to the Wheel It podcast after a very long break. Lammy.
I'm Cole.
And yeah, we're bringing a new episode to you after a long while, but we have our reasons and we'll probably get into that and catch you guys up. So Carl, what's been going on?
What's been popping? What hasn't been popping? So for the last time I spoke to you guys, I said I just got a new job. So I started my new job at a law firm, so that's been going all right so far. I've only been there for maybe a week and a half, and then I actually went on holiday again. So literally I got off a plane maybe 12, 13 hours ago, probably a bit longer. I went on a family holiday this time, so went to Dubai, really hot and that. It was really cool actually, to be fair.
There's I loved Dubai when I went.
Yeah.
Before I get into Dubai, though. Yeah, I have.
Nice.
I was going to ask though about the new job. How intense is that?
I can imagine. Already, yeah. So I started there the 19th or 29th? I'm guessing it's the 29th of August. And within a few days, they already told me I'm going to be seconded. So basically, seconded is when you like go work with a client.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I'm based in Moorgate in Liverpool, near Liverpool Street. And now I'm going to be going all the way to Canary Wharf to work with Citibank.
So that's not bad though. Yeah, Canary Wharf is, you know,
it's added £100 to my monthly ticket though. So it's peak. But when I'm there, like, or when I've been there for the week and a half I was there before my holiday, the hours were pretty... I mean, my first week I was doing like overtime, working till like 7 and 8, and that meant to finish at 5:30. The intensity is quite high. But I mean, this is what you ask for. When you say you want to work for certain companies and you want to do a certain job, like, you just got to take it when it happens, right? But I'm enjoying it so far. I'm learning, like, it's cool. I think it's the first proper legal job I've had. Like, before doing the whole law school stuff, I was working in financial services, which wasn't quite legal. It was more investment banky. And yeah, so being in it now, I've got what I wish for. I just got to take it as it is, right? And continue to enjoy it. But yeah, that's what I've been up to, really. Just starting work, went away for 10 days to the Middle East on my Emirati-ish. It was quite cool. Went quad biking in the desert.
That's one of the things I was going to ask if you did, because I have a whole list of activities I'm going to ask.
I went quad biking. What else did I do? We went like dune bashing. So like,
gave me a mad headache.
My mom was going mad. Like, she was screaming, stop the car. Like,
it was enjoyable, but I thought, if this 4x4 sinks into the sand,
it's
and
peak.
Oh my gosh, I got a mad headache after that. But it was fun.
No, definitely.
And then in the same sort of thing, did you do camel riding?
Yeah, did that. Yo, it was a struggle to get. I was shook. Like, I thought, I think, Carl, you're a big man. Like, but listen, when the camel was just groaning, and I was like, I'm not really sure if it wants me to climb on it and that. And then when you get on it, like, the way it gets up and the way it sits down is a bit like weird. So you almost fall off of it and that was fun.
It was the second time I had done it, because I had been to Morocco just a month before I went to Dubai with my family.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, I can do this. This is calm.
Yeah.
Been here, done that. So in Dubai, the camels seem to be a bit different, because
clearly
it was a scenario where obviously it's a tourism sort of thing. So these camels are probably fed up. So
they fully are. Like, they grow in every time people get on
them. So with this camel that I went on, it was a bit like unsettling, and it was just not having it. So luckily I wasn't too like scared of the animal. Like, I was just like, do you know what, it's having a tough time, I'm just gonna let it do its thing. So but it was fun anyway.
It was good fun. They only walked us like maybe 50 meters there and back, and then got off for the next people to get on it. What else did I do when I was out there?
Did you go to the Palm?
Yeah. Well, our hotel was literally overlooking the Palm, so we could see the Palm and the Atlantis from our hotel. So usually when people stay on the Palm, they take this picture of like loads of high-rise buildings and and I think it's called the Dubai Marina. So we were staying in a Dubai Marina, which is really cool.
Oh, I loved
it. Felt a bit like Canary Wharf kind of
vibe. Because
there's
a bit of, there's water as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
I would
loads
have loved
of yachts
to stay
and
there.
Stuff. And yeah, it was really cool, really cool. And then overseeing the Palm and that was cool. Speaking of the Palm, we also went to a water park on the Palm, which was really dope. out there, it's like 40 degrees plus, man. Like,
oh, I went in the middle of July, so
mistake. Mistake.
Peak levels of heat. I was dying.
It's ridiculous. It is intense. But luckily, like, they don't really spend much time outside. It's like straight from car into the building, from building to building.
And everything's air conditioned.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was okay, but it was like taxing on my body. Like, just the first 2 days I was out there, I didn't really speak to my family. I was like, listen, let's go and do stuff. Like, don't talk to me. I haven't got energy. Like, just let's just be, kind of thing. And then afterwards, you get used to it. And then you come back to England in the cold. But to be fair, it's not that cold. It's just a bit windy.
Yeah, there's a storm going on.
It's
affecting parts of like southern eastern England.
Oh, wow.
So my end is a bit windy, actually. Yeah.
Wow. See, I've been so disconnected from England for the last 10 days. I didn't even know.
I think there's been 2 deaths so far. It's actually...
Death?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. Some woman was in a caravan on a cliffy area and it got blown off the cliff.
Wow.
Yeah. That was just like yesterday or the day before.
That's a mad thing.
Mad.
I never knew that. Wow. Mm. Okay. So it's not good to keep your head buried in the sand, quite literally, when you're in Dubai. But yeah, man. So the holiday was really cool.
Nice.
I quite enjoyed it. 2 holidays in the space of a month. I think
Can't
I'm
complain.
Done for a while. Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to in the last couple
of
weeks?
Yeah, I mean, as of last time we spoke on the podcast, I'm in between opportunities. Mm. And actually, it so turns out that I have an interview tomorrow.
Hey.
For one of the... I'm actually bricking it already. Like, one of the biggest opportunities of my life.
You'll be okay.
And I hope so. Nah, but this is one that really matters to me. And because it's the whole reason I decided to go down the journalism route. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope it goes well. I'm optimistic. But like I said,
it will. It
I'm
will.
Bricking
Just
it.
Be confident. Because the job I had now, I was the same thing.
Mm.
And then I remember I had the interview, and the interview was 12 minutes long. I said, yeah, I haven't got this job. Like, forget it. It was meant to be a half an hour interview. I came in, they were just chatting generally, like, whatever. 12 minutes later, I came out, and I was like, well, I ain't got the job. Then they called me. Before I got home, they're like, yeah, by the way, when can you start? I was like,
oh that's
okay.
Brilliant.
So hopefully the same thing will happen to you.
I claim it.
But you'll be okay, man. I'm sure you will be. I mean, you've got a good background of experience with the whole, was it Esquire you're at?
Yeah,
so that should lead in your favour, but you'll be all right, man.
Yeah. In the meantime, I've just been like occupying myself with like my project, one of my projects I'm working on, huge journalism project where I have to like interview lots of people.
Nice one.
Been kind of slacking on it, but it's happening.
At its own pace. You can't rush these things either, to be fair. Like,
and then obviously the podcast as well. I consider it a project for both of us.
Yeah.
But it's like this whole podcasting thing, I feel like we need to let people know it's difficult.
It's not easy. It's actually
difficult.
Not easy. I thought it would be like before we started, like, oh, you just come, you record, you speak,
listen,
and you go
from,
home. Like,
from episode 2, we were having issues.
Yeah.
Like, it's.
Even we were meant to put, before we went, I went away. Well, actually, I think we were meant to put out an episode, but then I think we had like, difficulties with like, even just scheduling and stuff and like technical stuff.
All the podcasters out there, I rate them because
honestly,
this is not something that you just decide, oh, that might be fun, I'll have a go. It's it's almost a
full
time.
With our last episode, didn't we spend almost an hour trying to get the mics working?
Oh.
It was a madness. It was just so like, and then the fire alarm went off in the building as well. And then
so in the last episode, you can probably hear like our energy was just like, we were so over it.
Right.
And I feel like with each episode, you can definitely hear our energies.
Yeah, for sure.
Come through.
But we should be refreshed in that, you know, we've had a bit of a break, a bit of a holiday.
Yeah, Carl's has his holiday. I've had my breakthrough, hopefully. So, feeling good.
With that being said then, what's been up recently then, since we've last spoken to the people then?
So, music-wise, there's been a lot of releases.
There's been a lot.
I'm struggling to keep up, can't even lie.
There's some stuff I ain't listened to yet.
Yeah.
It's pending, but it's like, listen, and why it's so hard is because I'm actually quite enjoying some of the stuff that's being released now as well. So instead of like listening once or twice and then moving on to the next thing, I'm actually trying to live with it kind of thing, which is what I usually do.
And if you do that,
it means you can't listen to stuff at the same time. It's just, I've done well to listen to as many things as I've listened to and kind of, obviously I wasn't obviously being on holiday now in Dubai, I didn't want to like rack up data charges and that. So I said, listen, I'm only using Wi-Fi while I'm out there. So what I did do when we were traveling and stuff, you wouldn't get Wi-Fi. So I downloaded albums. So like the same, like maybe 10 albums I've had on my phone for the last 10 days. That's all I've been listening to. So, and actually what
should we get into that list then?
Yeah. It's a mixture of stuff, to be fair. A mixture of recent stuff and a mixture of stuff that I know will just keep me ticking. Let's have a look. So, you got A2's Purple, Black's East Atlanta Love Letter, Getz's Ghetto Gospel, No Name, No Names, Room 25, Octavian's Spaceman, Royce da 5'9's Book of Ryan, Nine's Crop Circle, Chronic's Chronology, Meek Mill Wins and Losses, Koji Radical in God's Body, Busta Rhymes, The Coming, Mick Jenkins, The Healing Component, Scraps, Different Cloth, Bryson Tiller, Trap Soul. I never listened to it, but I put it in there thinking I would.
Wow. Yeah, I know, how right? many years later you're just listening to Trap Soul?
Listen, this on the plane back is when I first took in Rihanna's Anti album.
Wow.
Oh, now I was like, yeah, cool. There's one. I like the tune Sex With Me, Needed Me, and Work.
Oh, that's
work.
My jam.
But after those three, I didn't really care for the album, so I didn't really listen to it ever. And then I listened to it on the plane. I was like, this is actually a good album.
Yeah.
Like, Rihanna done well on this, but how many years ago did she release it?
That was 2016.
Yeah, man, 2 years later. Listen, I come to it and I come to it, but if I come to it and I like it, I'm with it, kind of
yeah
thing.
Fair enough. That's me. I definitely, even with this, I don't want to force listening to projects that I just don't have the time to get to yet. I want to assimilate it when definitely. The time, you know, feels right for me.
Definitely.
So a lot of those albums are on my list to listen to and I haven't got to
yeah
yet.
Yeah, fair.
But
have you listened to, I'm guessing you must have listened to Black?
Yeah, yeah,
that's your guy. You put me onto Black, to be fair. I wasn't listening to him before your on Spin, I think it was.
So that's actually been one of my one of the albums, I mean it only released a few days ago, but that is one of the ones I was most anticipating because it's his follow-up album to the first one, his debut. And
Sophomore Curse, yeah, usually. But
and so I was I don't like to have expectations when it comes to, you know, artists who are fledgling and, you know, getting into their sound and everything. But I had, hopes. I was like, yeah, I'm sure this is going to be good. And so on my first listen, I was pleasantly surprised and I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah.
It's nothing to ring home about, I mean, I'm still like really happy with what I'm hearing.
When you
like, I love the Atlanta sound that he's kept with this project. I mean, of course, that's the essence of the album. It's called East Atlanta Love Letter, and it very much feels like a love letter to Atlanta and its sound.
Yeah.
And who he is. Yeah.
I was gonna ask you then, when you say, because obviously you've been listening to him since his first album, I've kind of just jumped on his wave recently, so I haven't actually gone back to his first album yet. So when you say you were surprised, then like, is that because it's a different sounding album to his first album, or is that his content is different, or what surprised you about the album? Like, well, what were your expectations and how is it different with what you've actually heard then?
I mean, I guess when I say expectations, I just mean like I'm expecting that, you know, that southern feel to the album. I'm expecting that nonchalant flow that he's so well known for. I'm expecting, you know, the deep sort of
deep cuts
topics that he loves to rhyme about. And I guess the surprise came where we heard a bit more rapping from him. Like there's this like on Balenciaga,
I mess with that tune.
Yeah,
heavy.
The one with Offset.
Yeah, Balenciaga Challenge, I think.
Yeah tracks like that. And another one where he, which I've forgotten the title of the track.
Maybe Scripture or Nonchalant, like from Balenciaga Challenge. There was a sequence of
where he offers some pretty decent, you know, raps, and that came as a bit of a surprise. And I was it was a pleasant surprise because I was like, yes, he's not only has he consolidated his sound, he's offering a bit more. And there's one of the bars. He said something like, I'm an R&B nigga with a hip hop core.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yeah.
If
there's one bar that stuck out for me on this, it was that.
Yeah. I noticed that as a first time listener as well. I noticed that too. I was like his melodies are awesome. Like,
yeah.
is the kind of the way he approached his songs are awesome, and then he just turns the switch and then he actually raps as well. And I think we were talking about it in an episode or two ago when I was talking about BET Cyphers, and I used to think he was just a singer, and then I heard his cypher where it was in with Little Sims, and he was actually spitting, and the bars were like, he came very correct. I was like, wait, hang on, the guy can rap. And like you said, it was all kind of brought home in this album, like the singing and the rapping was, do you know what, I'd actually put him up there. There's not many people, there's obviously you got your Drake, you got your Tory Lanez, and you got Black, but there's not many people that can sing and rap
as
in dual kind of measure, like, and he does it so well, so well. It's making me excited to kind of, when I've kind of got sick of this album, I'm gonna go back to his first one, and hopefully, you know, he gives me a bit of both. But like, I actually really like Black, his sound. I can't lie, I judged him. I said beforehand that I thought he was just one of the generation of mumble. And I saw his hair, I saw the name, I said, yeah, forget it, I ain't listening to this guy. And then through hearing it, I was like, he's solid, like he's proper, and he's from Atlanta as well. Usually they're kind of not the most conscious rappers out there, you know. You got your Gucci Manes, your Young
Thug. It's more about the sound. That
He even says so on his I think the Thugger interlude on the album. He's talking about, oh yeah,
like, I don't want to listen to it,
all of that conscious stuff. Exactly. So it's weird because his influence is that, but then he gives us an album like this. It's like,
yeah, come to think of it, that whoa. I didn't. That interlude was one that I looked at and listened to, and I thought, okay, there's a reason for, like, I'm trying to understand the reason for this sort of interlude, but I think that it hit home. Like, he's, that's, that serves as a way of him saying, although Atlanta's all about, you know, the trap, the sound, the ignorant sort of thing, it's serving a purpose in that I appreciate part of that as who I am and who my sound, what my sound is, but I'm also, you know, there's also more to me than just that.
Do you know how that also ties in? That is so sick. So some of the features on this are actually, I think everyone featured is from, okay, I'm not sure about Khaled, and I don't know, definitely Khaled. J. Cole isn't from Atlanta, but Future and Offset are both from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I feel like their appearances were fantastic on this album as well. Like,
I'm not too sure about Khaled, where he's from, but
Well, he can be from where he's from anyway.
He has a bit of a southern sound, mind you.
Yeah, he does.
Anyway.
But with Future and with Offset, both of them also being from Atlanta where he's from, but he's brought them into his sound kind of thing. I thought that was so sick, because you wouldn't expect, when, okay, I saw Future was featured on a song, and then I hear the beat and I'm like, I don't know what Future is going to do, like, on this. I can't hear Future on this.
Yeah.
But it just works so well. And like,
what did you think of, like, I felt like Future did well to tame his sound very much to the same tempo of Black, and I really appreciated that. Like, what did you think as a guy? Because I'm not a fan of Future.
No, neither am I.
Okay,
so it's not even a guy. I know a lot of guys like him, but I can't get into him.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, so even me, we're on this, probably on the same wavelength here, where we're like, listen, like, but I know what Future's about, and I know what his sound's about. I just, don't get me wrong, I appreciate Future, and there's quite maybe 10 to 15 songs of Future that I like, but considering he's put out hundreds of music, it's not that much.
Yeah.
But that being said, I really like you said, how he kind of tamed his sound. And I saw a lot of people actually saying that it sounds similar to Hendrix. You know, he put out two albums at the same time, one called Future and one called Hendrix.
Which I did not listen
to. One was Yellow and one was Silver. I didn't listen to either.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were saying it sounded like the one called Hendrix. So I'm guessing, like, on that album, he did a lot of the kind of singing and like all that kind of stuff. So maybe I'll go, probably not, but maybe I'll go listen to Hendrix to see if he offers more of that stuff. But yeah, Black did really well to kind of give him direction and say, okay, this is the song. And even think, because Black probably would have had the song already before he thought would sound good on this, which that kind of foresight is kind of sick. Like, I'm here for that genius planning and that genius pairing.
Yeah.
And that shows an artist's real artistic value.
Yeah.
And the same thing again with Offset, although Offset was probably a bit more in his comfort zone on that kind of beat, it still works really well. And it was still Atlanta, but at the same time, it was still Black. Yeah.
That is one artist that truly knows his sound.
For sure.
Truly knows who he is and what what his music speaks for. So,
and then when you know that, it's easy to kind of draw for features and say, okay, this is what I want, this is exactly what I want from you, and like they deliver on that. That's a common pattern with artists that kind of know their sound. And a bit like when we spoke about Travis Scott and his album, like him putting in James Blake on the same track as like whoever else was on the tracks, like, you wouldn't think that those kind of people would be on the same track together, but because Travis knows his sound and he's kind of honed it in, he was able to bring them together. I look at artists like Kendrick Lamar as well, who brings in whoever onto a track and like
just makes it work.
It makes it work because he's sure of his direction. So that was another really dope feature of this album. And also like the whole kind of the sound. It's an R&B album, right? Or what would you say it is? Hip hop R&B or what is, it's a black album.
Yeah, I'm tempted to use the word alternative.
Yeah,
but
well, it's not mainstream. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong, I guess, with calling it alternative.
But right? I would say alternative R&B because it very much is an R&B sound. No matter how many people try to say that, no, he's got his own. No,
it's R&B
got,
for sure.
Yeah, is R&B. So
if anything, it would be that, and we don't like putting things in boxes, but just for ease of discussion. So I guess with that being said then, have you got any favourite tracks yet, or like are you still feeling your way around the album? Or
I've definitely got my top three, which are Scripture.
Okay. Solid.
Balenciaga.
Challenge. Solid.
And Sorry.
Solid.
Yeah.
Fair. So you don't like... I know you're not that you're not the biggest fan, but I know you're not the biggest fan, if that makes sense, of J. Cole.
I love Pretty Little Fears as well.
Yeah?
That is, I know that's like everyone's favourite.
It's not top three.
It's probably fourth.
Okay, honourable fourth.
Yeah, honourable fourth.
No,
J. Cole's verse melts my heart.
Oh, listen, that verse is serious.
If a nigga could sing about me like that, or rap about me like that.
No. People need to respect J. Cole. No, they really need to respect it. Because I see, like, when his album dropped, I saw a lot of slander about, oh, yeah, he's this, he's that. And I just kind of shout because I was like, he's not for everybody, whatever. I'm not going to waste my energy. But taking J. Cole, please.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, if not on this album, on this verse, I feel like it was a fantastic verse.
Fantastic, yeah.
That being said, it might not actually have been one of my top three either. Let me go through the track list. So I really liked Switch. I actually spoke to a friend about Switch, actually.
A single that was released, like,
I feel like I'd heard it before.
Yeah, so for me, that was like, yeah, heard that,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
taken
so
that
I know,
in.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I didn't consider it as, like, any of my
Fair,
top.
Yeah, it's not new enough to be a top.
But
kind
it is
of,
a great track, which is why it was released as a single.
For sure. I think Nonchalant was also released as a single as well.
Yep, that was the track that made me think, yep, an album is coming.
Yeah.
And we spoke about that last episode.
Exactly,
actually.
And that's the first actual black track I actually heard, and I thought, rah, like, okay, this is what he's about. I remember that, actually. Nonchalant was cool, Switch was cool. But I personally, my favourite at the moment, not many people actually seem to have been messing with it, is Seasons with Khalid. Like, I don't know, the song melts me. Like, it just makes me feel good and feel happy. Like,
yeah, it is a feel good song. It is a feel good song. And it doesn't, I think maybe because Khalid, I'm just so and so about.
Oh, same here. Like, this is the exact same conversation I had with my friend. Like, neither of us really listened to him or like Khalid, but I was like, because what I like about the song isn't what Khalid, okay, he's on the song, but I feel like the melody, like the beat and everything, the whole structure of the song was together before Khalid was even on it. And so my favourite parts about the song were Black's parts. I love the melody on it, and I love how it's like it's like a darkness into light kind of song.
Like, yeah, it felt like the most positive moment on the album.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I
proper.
Definitely agree.
Like, I just felt it differently. I don't know why. Maybe because in life too, like, it's like I'm moving like in that direction as well. So, you know, when you just feel it, you don't know why, but you just, a song just touches you and you're like, rah, like,
I definitely feel that. Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, I hear
so
that.
I really like Seasons. Balenciaga Challenge is up there, and probably Pretty Little Fears, man. Like, I really like J. Cole's verse. I feel recently he's been putting out some really good verses on different features as well. So yeah, people need to put respect on J. Cole's name immediately, to be honest. But yeah, any more thoughts on the album then? Like,
I mean, it's definitely when I'm going back to.
I was gonna say, you're gonna live with it a bit then,
yeah,
or you kind of.
I have been for the past few days. I know it's just dropped, but I've been spinning it a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Same here, to be honest. Like, it took me a minute to get to it as well because I even put out a tweet. Quite a few people dropped on that Friday. So I think Gets dropped, No Name dropped, He dropped, and who else dropped? One other person dropped. Wale dropped.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wale dropped an EP, I think it was 6 or 7. So I haven't listened to it yet.
I thought it was like maybe just one song. I didn't know it was like
No, it was like a full-on, maybe 6 or 7 project songs.
Okay.
Saying I'm offline, so I can't. Hang on, bear with me.
Again, I don't really listen to...
5 songs.
Wale as such.
Do you not? You're not a fan then, or you just...
I mean... I don't know if you were aware, but like a few years ago, there was, he got the most stick, like everyone just hated him.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, I don't know whether it was because he was Nigerian, but people just hated the fact that he was trying to be great and they weren't hearing anything that he was putting out. And that was actually the time where I enjoyed him more. So that was
he's good when he's like Lotus Flower Bomb fighting the world.
And the breakup song around that area.
Yeah.
That a lot of guys just were sticking on him like,
I feel you.
Wale, like,
I definitely feel
since
you.
Then I haven't really listened to anything that he's really put out. But I do know that Wale is a great storyteller. He can rap. You know, he can rap. And
there's a song of his I think you might like. It's called Ambitious Girl. I don't know if you've heard it already. He dropped it way back, like way back. But
that rings almost, a bell, you know.
It's almost poetry. It's like spoken word.
Does it feature anyone?
No, it's just him. But okay. It's almost like spoken word. Wale is very poetic.
Yeah.
Part of why I like him. But
storyteller, yeah.
Yeah, ladies, actually, in general, if you guys go listen to a song by Wale called Ambitious Girl, you probably like it quite a bit. And another song that loads of girls seem to like is The Matrimony as well. It's like a proper like lovey kind of wedding song. Go listen to them two songs and maybe you will like Wale. I think
to be fair, he raps about women quite
a lot
poetically.
I think they're his muse in some sense. But yeah, I haven't actually listened to Wale's tape yet because I've only really got to kind of live with just the two albums, just Getz's and Black's. No Name, I ran through maybe once, twice, and I really liked it because I don't know. Do you listen to No Name at all?
I listened to her project that got a lot of like acclaim.
Yeah,
just because I saw it like making waves, and I thought I only knew of her through Chance the Rapper.
Okay,
she was featured on a few of his like
throwaway
SoundCloud tracks
from Chicago, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And so that made me pay a bit of attention to her, and I think I listened to, what was her first album called? I'm not actually sure.
It was it wasn't a pink one. It was Telephone.
That's
an
it.
F.
Yeah, Telephone.
But I think she dropped something before that. But
it was Telephone that I
that you
listened
liked.
To
yeah,
like
yeah.
through once, and I love her, like her timid sort. I wouldn't maybe not timid, but like
the way she.
It's just a very soft-spoken rap.
Yeah.
If that's even a thing.
Mm-hmm. In fact, let me get up a tweet to actually put up. Continue. I'm going to get, because she addressed that actually. She said she basically she does it on purpose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
And it was so soothing to listen to, but I haven't really like paid much attention to her. Because she's independent and she's low key anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely will listen to this new album that she's got out. I definitely, like I mentioned a few episodes back, I'm taking in a lot more like female rappers and artists, and she's definitely one that I want to pay 100%, attention to. 100%.
I think the tweet was, she put in quotes, "Why does she rap so soft all the time? I can't hear the shit she's saying." And then she's like, "I make lullaby rap music."
So, lullaby rap music. Yeah, I love that.
It is, because the way it, like her voice kind of oscillates, like
it's
very unique as well. No one else raps like that, to be fair. And she's got substance, and I feel like the tracks that she does rap on, they're very musical. So they feature a lot of actual instruments, and it's very jazzy.
So I know you've only listened to her new thing, like maybe once through or a couple times. So what are your thoughts on that? For someone who hasn't yet listened.
Yeah, it's. It's cool, but I was upset because, like,
I'm upset.
Word to Drake. I listened to, so what I did, I listened to Getz, then I listened to Black, then I listened to No Name. And maybe I did it in the wrong order, because when I listened to the first two, I really liked them. I was like, I'm definitely coming back to these. And then by the time I got to the third one, I was like, because I know I'm already getting back to those two, I'm probably not going to give this as much attention, and I'm not going to kind of just sit with it and like, just, I don't know, like I didn't feel the same way as I felt about the first two albums. And they've three very, very different vibes, the albums. One is like very UK, very rap, kind of hard hitting. One is a bit softer, introspective, R&B alternative. And one was rap and jazz.
So it's jazzy then.
Very, very jazzy. And I love jazz. I'm all for like the Robert Glasper, Terrace Martin kind of stuff. I love that stuff. But maybe it was just the time and place I was listening to it in. It just didn't fit. And listening to three albums in one day, it's a lot. Like, it takes its toll on you.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, she was just lost, and that's why I probably didn't take it in as much as I wanted to. But saying that, there was a song on there called Ace. It was actually about Ace Hotel in Shoreditch. I think when No Name Smino must have come to perform in London, a lot of them go around Ace Hotel, that kind of Shoreditch area, to perform. And there was this artist called Saba, who's also from Chicago. Yeah, so I think Sabba's also featured heavily with Chance the Rapper too. So his verse was super, super, super sick. So I need to go back and listen to that again. But the whole album, I know it's a good album, but I just haven't taken it in. But yeah, I know it's good. It's just there waiting for me, kind of thing. Yeah, I'll speak briefly then about Getz's album. So Ghetto Gospel, the sequel, I guess. He put out Ghetto Gospel almost 8 years ago, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I really, 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 really like this album. Like, really, really like this album. Because it's so Getz, but at the same time, it's like a maturation album. Like, the content in which, I mean, the single we put out called Black Rose, I don't know if you've heard it, it's featuring Koji Radical. It's a song, I think his daughter was the influence behind it, but he speaks about how black men probably have a better part to play in the treatment of black women. Like, we need to uphold them and uplift them, that kind of thing. And it was just, it was a very mature song. I think the song started by his daughter saying, daddy, why don't all the girls in the magazines look like me? And then he spoke about how, you know, us brothers need to kind of uphold our sisters and that. And that was kind of a theme through the album. He spoke about colorism, I guess. He spoke about you know, violence in our neighborhoods and stuff. He also spoke about he had an ode to his, I guess, his friend called Jess, who was ill, terminally ill. So he wrote from her perspective, which is also really cool. A lot of people don't realize that Getz can actually do that. Like, people just think he's a gasses, like he just does stuff like one take and whatever. And I mean, the girl didn't sing for me, but like throwback, that's like maybe 10 years ago now. But he can also make songs, if that makes sense. He's very, very, very introspective for someone who's seen as a wheel up, word to the podcast, a wheel it rapper. Like, he can actually talk about stuff. And it was, I was glad to see throughout the whole album, from top to bottom, he was talking about stuff. And then he was also in equal measure giving us the the Getz that we all like. Like, he gave us, like, on songs like Shillington, Crescent, on songs like Pick Up the Phone, Halloween, Houdini, like all these songs, it's like very much Getz, like gas, like yeah, like this is what we're here for. And at the same time, you know, he has a really, really, really lovely interlude called Hand on the Bible. He's actually got a choir to come and like and sing it. Like, I think it's a full choir. And it was very gospely, to be fair, and very that feel good when you hear the choir sing, and you know,
sounds like a really well-bodied, like full-bodied
project. No, it really is. It really is, and especially as someone coming from the UK, coming from a background of kind of shutting down sets and kind of, you know, you know, who can get the most wheel ups in a set, kind of coming from that background. That's why I said it's the maturation is crazy, like the subject matter and how we sequenced it and like how it's all come together as one album. I feel like it's probably one of the best albums to come out of the UK this year, easily. Wow. Like,
that's saying a lot. So
quite easily.
With that level that you believe Getz has taken it to, do you feel like maybe he's taken a leaf out of someone like Stormzy's book, where he's making a full-bodied project where it's like, I can give you all facets of who I am as an artist, as Getz. I can give you the wheel-up tunes and I can give you the storytelling as well, all in one project.
I mean, if he did take a leaf out of Stormzy's book, then cool, but he done it better than Stormzy. I'll tell you that. He did it much better. And that's not even a knock to Stormzy's album. Stormzy's album was fantastic. I even wrote about it. Fantastic. But what Getz has done, just, it was another level. And I think that's because Getz has been in the game for a long time now. I mean, I just quoted Sing For Me, which came out when we were like year 7, year 8. Like, and he's still here now, kind of making music, and it's still hitting home. So I think it shows like how long he's been doing it for, the level of skill he's done it with.
Yeah,
it's a bit more intricate
as well. Yeah,
there you go. It's a bit more intricate as well. It's a bit more insightful, and I guess it's a bit more genuine, because when the album came out, like, I was a bit like, I didn't see this coming. Like, okay, it was a gospel album, it was fantastic, it was relatable, like, and I got it, I really got it. But like, all his music he released before then, I was like, where did this Gang Signs and Prayer even come from, kind of thing? Where did all this God stuff come from? And it was a trend at that time, because Kanye released an album around that time. You're talking about God, and then like Chance was also doing
with
that gospel
thing,
kind of. So everyone was like on this God flex. I was a bit like, is it genuine, or is just everyone just kind of turned into God now all of a sudden, which is cool. But the way Getz did it, you could see his journey. So you could see when he was rapping about kind of, I'm thinking of a Getz quote where he's, I don't know, a song like Artillery, where he's, you know, on his job, kind of talking about stuff on his job, to what he's talking about now, I see that journey. So it's a lot more profound when he's now talking about these things. And he's an older guy as well. He's probably in his 30s now. He's had a kid. He's seen life. That all comes out in the album, kind of thing. You know? So maybe it did take a leaf out of Stormzy's book, but it was just a lot more profound, a lot more refined, a lot better. And
I love that. That sounds good. Level. That makes me definitely want to listen.
No, definitely, man.
I will do, so.
You should. It's a bit long. I think it's about maybe 16 or 17 songs, maybe. Probably less.
More for me to take in, to be fair.
Yeah, but like the first half is definitely, or the first quarter is definitely more of Getz being Getz, and then the rest of it is more introspective, which is really, really cool. But yeah, everyone out there, if you haven't listened to Getz's album, listen to it. It's one of the best albums to come out of the UK this year. That's a statement, but like I stand by that so firmly. Him and Rech, I think Rech dropped this year, his 3-2 album. Those two have been my favourite albums out of the UK this year so far. So check it out for sure.
I actually see that Getz has been getting a lot of like airtime on like...
Yeah, he did a Channel 4 thing recently where he was speaking exactly the stuff he's speaking about on his album. He just kind of spoke about in person.
In person, yeah.
So I think on the Channel 4 thing, he was speaking about the violence in the hood and that. And like he was like, you know, that's their reality. Instead of attacking, and we had this conversation, instead of attacking the people making certain type of music, you should attack the reason why they have to make it, because he said that the art imitates life. Like, this is their reality. That's why they're rapping about it. So target that rather than the rappers and the content of the music. So that was a really good message, especially as a lot of these rappers will see him as an OG. And he's really stepped into that role as an OG, like, you know.
That was where I was going to take my next question to, actually. How many, or are there any artists that you think, like, from Getz time, that you think can stand next to him today in terms of content they're putting out?
Yeah, this is so weird. So weird. So when we were waiting for the flight yesterday, or waiting for the flight back to London, I was listening to Getz's 60 Minutes Live. So Mr. Jam, Radio 1 DJ, does his 60 Minutes Live, and then Getz brings on a load of guests.
Yeah.
And I was watching, and the guests that he brought on, I was like, these men are actually the OGs of the UK music scene. Like, they're the guys who were here 10 years ago that are still here now that can hold a candle to gigs, to Getz. So people that were there, Gigs was there,
okay,
Rech was there, Chip was there, although Chip is a lot younger. Chip has been around I Am The Grand Scene Savior. He's been around for time. Like, Getz, Gigs, Rech, Kano, Chip. I feel like those men.
I swear Chip just dropped something as well.
He's dropping on Friday.
Okay,
tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm so happy, because the UK has had a lot of, and we spoke about this again before, about, you know, how the UK currently, the sound is a bit the same and everyone's, but we've had literally A2 has dropped, Octavian has dropped, Gigs Getz has dropped. I keep making that mistake. Getz has dropped, and now Chip's going to drop. It's a really, really good time for UK music at the moment, because everyone is different, and what everyone's doing is really different. But yeah, so Chip's about to drop tomorrow. I think these are the men that are like that top tier of
top
UK
tier
rap output. Maybe it's grime, or if it's rap or whatever, that output. So to answer your question, that was so weird, because I was thinking about it just yesterday. Like, and you can see these men, they have a close bond, they have a close relationship. Like, the way they talk about, like, on the show, like, they were bantering about who spun who on which tracks they've done over the years. As in, like, they performed a song called Inner the Ghetto. You remember, I don't know, that was maybe year 7 or 8 times with with Getz and Rech. And they were talking about how, like, since then they've been counting who spun who on tracks. That's a 10-year span, you know, and they're still going now. It made me so happy. So yeah, to answer your question, I think those are the men that are from that gen who are still, I mean, Devlin was around then, but, and he dropped an album last year, but he fell off the scene a bit. So I don't know, but those 4 or 5 men, yeah, man, they're definitely, they're the OGs. Like, and it's cool, because in America, they have OGs of rap and stuff. You've got your Snoop Dogg, you've got your Jay-Z, you've got your, I guess, Biggie, although he's dead. Like, these are kind of the pioneers. Yeah. And then it's now nice to see that in the UK music scene, we have that same thing. Like, you know, hopefully there's not a disconnect, because in America, you've got your mumble rappers and your OGs. There's a big disconnect. Hopefully there's not a disconnect between our OGs over here and our kind of current Afro swing crop kind of thing.
Skepta.
I didn't mention him. Of course, Skepta as well. Of course. But yeah, those guys, I think, are still doing very well. If they dropped an album tomorrow, I'd listen to, like, you know. So it's really cool to see. And they're all maturing as well. They've all got kids now as well.
Yeah.
And they rap about their kids and their music. And it's just nice, man.
kind of a side note, but which of the Adenuga brothers has a baby, please? Because Skepta uploaded that one ultrasound.
The ultrasound, right? So I think he's got one pending. And I noticed that...
I don't know if... I had a second thought and I thought, wait, hold on. This actually could be Jamie's baby.
I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, he got married a couple of years ago. Married. So like, it seems in due course that's probably what would happen.
Yeah,
right?
So maybe it's an ultrasound of, you know, his brother's baby. But anyway, who knows?
It was funny because...
That just came to mind. I know that's such a side note.
Around that time, remember there was links between him and Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, I was
and
so...
And then the day he
like,
dropped that picture, she dropped a picture of her like in a bikini on the like, boat to let everyone know, listen, that's not my you. Like, don't come and ask me, oh, is Naomi pregnant kind of thing. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Not many people would have noticed. That's probably why she did that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you're doing that to confirm. But I have
that's
no
what
idea.
Made me think maybe it's not Skepta's baby at all.
No,
so.
it might, because I mean, in Skepta's lyrics, he's wrote about how he actually lost a child. So I think, maybe he's definitely active in that sense, like, or active enough to have a kid and you know, bring a life
into
the world.
And it was his birthday like 2 days ago.
Yesterday, same day. Yeah. So it was my dad's birthday, Skepta's birthday. I think three friends that I know whose birthday was yesterday.
Virgo season.
It was a mad thing. Another one of my friends' dad's birthday, like all on the 19th. It's such a packed day. It was a mad thing. But yeah, his birthday was yesterday, so big up him. He's getting old now though, like
36.
He's over 35, I think.
Yeah, I think he's turned 36.
Gosh, man, is it time for him to slow down or continue?
He should continue, man.
Yeah,
continue.
Man, he's got the wave.
He's on a wave. Speaking of Skepta, actually, did you see the video for Bad Energy with
Wizkid? Yeah, I loved it. Did
love
you like it?
Do you know? I have some thoughts. I loved it.
Okay.
No, not bad thoughts.
Okay. I loved the
video.
But.
And I saw that everyone was saying, oh, yeah, it's so cool how he's showing new Nigeria, new Lagos. But I'm not going to lie, everyone in that video is of the same clique.
Yeah.
It's a very small scene.
Yeah, microcosm.
In fact, it's not even like, it doesn't represent Lagos or Nigeria on a wide scale at all. Yeah. And what people are seeing in this video is like, oh yeah, like new Nigeria and everything. But that's, I mean, not to throw shade. But
you're about to throw shade.
It's very much like, that was like a very small representation of what the new like alternative scene in Lagos and Nigeria or like Nigeria,
the youth
of Nigeria could look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But just know that these like, the people we were seeing in the video are just, you know, a very small representation. Yeah. And that's all I have to like say on that.
Fair.
But
I guess you saw it in a different
I feel like
way.
There's a lot. I mean, it's because I recognized a lot of, not
yeah,
that
I
know them.
Say, I
just recognized
I just like
faces,
the cinematography.
A lot of these faces.
Yeah.
And they all know each other.
Yeah,
that is the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, that is great because they're all putting each other on and it is showing a small but growing scene in, you know, the youth of Nigeria. But it doesn't represent Nigeria as a whole. If that's like, I know a lot of, I'm only saying this because a lot of people are saying that, oh yeah, new Nigeria, da da da. There's still a lot more of like, the different scenes in Nigeria that could have been depicted in the video.
But then is that unnecessary pressure? Like, I feel like just because someone has now gone to, because usually people don't go back to Nigeria to shoot videos, but now that someone has, like, why is there this pressure that they have to then show all of Nigeria? Can't they just kind of show what they live, like when they go Nigeria, what they do and who they see? Like,
yeah, that is fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Kind of thing. I guess that's what he was doing. Like, just when he goes, what does he see? What does he do? Mm. Like,
to be fair, there isn't
with? Like,
he doesn't have that responsibility to like show all of Nigeria. And I'm not saying that
for sure.
But like, I just felt like that was something to say.
Yeah, yeah.
If you
it's
know,
just a point to note about the music
just
video.
Just a point to note.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I love the video, but it was like, oh, there's this person. Who knows this person?
Yeah,
and this person.
Yeah,
you know,
fair.
It was just, that's how it felt for me.
Okay,
I mean,
fair.
There were a lot of like other upcoming like musicians and rappers in the video as well who made cameos. There were a lot of cameos that I saw, which was nice.
Were they Niger artists or UK artists?
Yeah, Nigerian artists.
Oh, that's wicked.
So like, you probably won't know, but like Zemir and like et cetera. I could name a lot of people, but like, you know, it's good that Skepta knows of this scene that is burgeoning.
I was gonna say, check you with your ear to the scene, like, you know all these people. I had no clue, man. That's a good thing, though. The fact that you can spot these people, it's a good thing. Like, if put your ears to the ground.
If you have an eye, if you have an eye on the scene, then you will be like me, and you will notice what I'm noticing.
Yeah, fair.
So, yeah,
that's fair. But still, big up for the video. I like the how it looks, the cinematography of it, and everything. Mm. It looked like a cool video. Mm. It looked fun to shoot as well. Mm. But yeah, fair. Big up Skepta, UK legend, and that. Mm. we're not criticizing your video. I beg. We like it.
No, we love it. We love it, and we love you, Skepta. Don't worry.
Keep doing you, man.
Yeah. So I have had my eye on that scene because that's what I've been taking in and listening to a lot of, like a lot of the alter Nigerian music.
You used that term.
So last episode. Maddie and them. Yeah, Tay Iwa. I'm looking forward to his album dropping soon. Or do you see the engine? He is dropping an album soon called Rare. I'm looking forward to that. Santi's also got a project coming out. The one that did Freaky that I put you onto last episode.
It's a tune.
He's got an album coming out. So these are like big releases that I feel like not only I but a lot of like Nigerian youth will be looking forward to.
So it's not just all about the Davidos and the WizKids and them. No. Like, it's actually like they too have an underground scene. Mm-hmm, how we have like our main acts, that we also have like the lesser known acts. Like they also have that over there. Now,
yeah.
That's actually sick. I never knew. That's actually sick to know. Mm. So I thought they kind of just gravitate to the big acts and kind of just they're there. Mm. So sick to know that they've got their own thing. Like, and it's a growing thing the way we have it as well. Mm. I love that, man.
Although there is a bit of unity happening because Odusi just released a song called Divine and it's actually got Davido on it.
Oh, nice.
So,
oh yeah.
They're both embracing like the, you know, hit makers of Nigeria with the burgeoning alter scene. So
that's sick.
That is very much happening.
And I mean, I think that's quite
It just takes an
good.
Artist like Davido to actually recognize that and like. Mm. I mean, Davido is very much someone who is for like bringing up new artists. He's the one that discovered and put on Mayokun.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Mayokun, yeah, however you say I his name, Mayokun. Yeah. So yeah, if we can trust any of the hit makers of Nigeria to like be open to jumping on the underground scene, it would be Davido. Mm. So
fair. Yeah. And Wiz, I guess, because he's got his whole Starboy label, that soccer tune. There's hella people I've never heard of before on soccer. And I guess he's always featuring with different people and that. But yeah, okay. I guess before we move on, then I just want to quickly say one time for Mac Miller. Mm. His untimely death actually was something that really shook me. It was weird because just a few weeks, I think it was in episode 3 or 4, that our On Spin tune was actually a Mac Miller tune.
Yeah, we spoke about Mac Miller.
Exactly. And then to hear a few weeks later, he had passed. It was actually so sad.
It's
so
crazy.
I was getting ready to go out on a night out and I was listening to DJ Semtex on radio and he was just playing Mac Miller all of a sudden. I was just rapping along like, yeah, cool, Mac. I never hear Mac on the radio. And then I just jumped on Twitter and I was seeing RIP Mac Miller. I was like, wait, no. Because I was on such a high. I was like, oh, yeah. I never hear Mac. I think it was Kool-Aid and Frozen Pizza that I was playing on the radio. Mm. Never heard that on radio. And then to see that, it shot me down to the ground. I was like, okay, I get why Semtex is now playing it. Like, this news has just come in.
It's sad that's what it takes sometimes to,
you know.
It's
and it's just the way it happened as well. And I know he's been battling it for a long time. Mm. And there's been a lot of, and he's someone who's so friendly with everyone in the game. Like, everyone has a positive word to say about Mac. And it's people from all corners of the rap game as well. Like, you got people like YG, you got like Wiz Khalifa, you got Schoolboy Q, J. Cole, everybody. Mm. Vince Staples, the reason why Vince Staples started rapping was because of Mac Miller. Like, you know, his impact you could see was felt across the whole game. And then to know that everyone was trying to reach out to him, but he had so many demons that he just couldn't get over is so sad, because you know how much of a good soul he was as well. So I just wanted to kind of take a moment to say one time for Mac Miller, and I hope he rests easy now. He's definitely in a better place, but it's just again a stark warning to anyone who kind of wants to dabble in that kind of stuff, because I feel like maybe the generation after us, the younger ones, they are more open to drugs and they like enjoy it and stuff. Like, it's just a stark reminder that's where it can end up. I'm not here to say, oh no, don't do drugs, kids. Like, make your decision, but just know what you're gonna do before you're doing it, kind of thing. But rest in peace to Mac Miller, man. One time for a legend.
I just hope we don't have to see many more deaths until it really hits home, like this whole rapping about the drugs and the lean and, you know,
we've
this,
had a couple
that,
of them done
it's
that,
enough. Like, it's actually enough.
You know?
And we shouldn't have to experience the death of another rapper to...
It can't keep happening.
It can't. It's just not...
It's funny because rapping was once about, you know, speaking about being the seller of drugs, and now it's about being the user of drugs.
Mm.
It's weird how it's flipped.
And using rap
head.
As a way to get out the, you know, the game. So
it's a weird one, but you know, hopefully there can be a stop to this. Like, I think luckily in the UK we don't have that much of a problem with, I guess, with drugs and people dying of drugs. And anytime I see a UK rapper rapping about sipping lean, I'm like,
come off
this
it.
Is corny, man. What
come
are you doing?
It.
You're only doing this because you see Americans do it. Like, lean is not something we do in the UK. Allow it. Like, you know what I'm saying? We have cowpole over here. We ain't got cough syrup like that.
You can find cough syrup if you
read it. Of course you can. Yeah, but like, it's not something that's just readily like kind of.
Yeah, it's not. It's
so
not.
Hopefully that doesn't kind of spread over here. But yeah, like I say, the UK seems in a healthy position where we kind of do our own thing now, and we don't really look to them as much for inspiration anymore. So let's continue doing that. And
yeah,
I think our own issues are more of violence rather than of drugs. So if we can sort that out, it'll be great. But I guess looking forward then into the future, you mentioned a few albums from Nigerian artists that you were looking forward to. Is there any other albums that you've heard are dropping, or any ones that you're probably hoping would drop?
So a few weeks back, Kanye tweeted about Watch the Throne 2 coming.
Did you get guessed?
I was like, keep that. Keep that.
Wait, did you like the first one?
Of course. Okay, like, cool. Watch the Throne is
fantastic.
Enigmatic. That was sick. Yeah, that was just such an amazing album. And it was shortly after like the tour of that album that they announced Watch the Throne 2 is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yes,
ready.
I'm here
My
for
whole
it.
Being was ready.
So how come this man, how many years later?
A number, like
four and years
six
later,
form when Watch the Throne dropped. So
yeah, is trying to say that, oh yeah, Watch the Throne 2 is just coming. Like,
and on top
can,
of that
you
now,
can keep that, because I rest assured, I know that will be expired content.
Definitely.
There's and no way he can rehash that same vibe of Watch the Throne in
what
a
made
second
me upset,
album with Jay.
Well, no, do you know what made me upset was the fact that later on he then confirmed that it wasn't actually Watch the Throne 2 with Jay, it's actually with Chance the Rapper.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Kanye, you can keep that.
It's
that's
like,
not,
what are you
no,
doing? Like,
that's not Watch the
that's
Throne.
Not
the, don't
hopefully
call
that's
it
not the official
then.
Title. But he first tweeted Watch the Throne 2 coming soon. And then later he announced that he's got a joint album with Chance. So I'm putting the dots together. And I know him and Jay probably still aren't cool. So I'm hoping he's not referring Watch the Throne 2 to the thing with him and Chance, because that will really upset me.
That can't be.
Jay-Z's a businessman. There's no way Kanye is using that name without Jay-Z being involved or giving it a tick off. So if anything, he probably won't be able to call it Watch the Throne 2. But I think he's meaning it metaphorically, like, oh, this isn't the next best joint project to come out like since Watch the Throne 2.
I'm sorry, but you cannot put Chance. I mean, okay, this is, we don't actually know if this Watch the Throne 2 is going to be Kanye and Chance confirmed. But
they've definitely got an album coming out together, though.
Yeah, they have a joint project, but we don't know if it's WTT2.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is you can't put Chance on an album and expect it to reach the level that Watch the Throne
can't.
Reached. It's not going to happen.
You can't. The Watch the Throne was a moment.
It was a moment.
It was everything around it was a moment. Mm. And he's never going to recatch, because everyone's tired of him now. Everyone's like, leave us alone, Kanye. Shut up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's like, you're done out here. Quote,
you're
unquote.
Done.
So, like, and then I guess Chance hasn't dropped enough. I think it's worse for Chance than it is for Kanye, because Chance is coming off a really, and I'm not a huge Chance fan, but that his last album was really good. He's coming off of that, and it's been a while now. So I think the next thing he needs to put out is something of his own that is also just as good. And I feel like, if anything, Kanye may drag him down. But they have good chemistry. They work really well together. It can be seen on not Spin for Butterfly. What am I doing this today? I'm tired, man. I've barely slept since the flight.
Waves on...
To the
T-Pab.
Life of... Yeah.
Yeah.
TLOP, The Life of Pablo. Yeah. Since... Like, you can see they have good chemistry together. Mm-hmm. They really work.
T-Lop, wow. Even I say T-Pab, meaning...
To Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah,
I mean, T-Lop.
T-L-O, yeah, T-Lop, T-L-O-P. Did you actually catch... You know, Chance actually had a version of
Waves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say, actually. I'm not sure that they do work together.
Because Kanye's,
you know,
like,
what?
I'm not sure anyone
works well with Kanye.
No.
Because
it'll push it
Chance,
to
like, after, you know, The Life of Pablo, like, dropped and everything, Chance then came out with, like, oh, actually, this was my version.
Yeah, this was meant to be this song. That
yeah, and I feel like that was him saying, yeah, you guys love the album version of Waves, but here's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, and it sounded so sick.
Yeah, and it sounded so amazing. Sick. So it was kind of like a slide to Kanye, like, oh,
yeah,
my version. Like,
which is why I'm surprised that they're actually now doing a joint tape together. It's like,
yeah, I mean,
I thought there was friction there.
Who knows what's going to come out of it? But yeah, I did want to say that I'm not too sure if they are going to come up with a project that we're expecting something great. It would be to the detriment of Chance, like you said, and I feel like he will compromise a lot because that's what he did on Waves.
He's shown that he's doing that. Yeah,
that's what he did on Waves.
Was, I think two or three other tracks as well.
Yeah,
it wasn't. I think it was not Feedback. Or quite a few tracks anyway that he showed. I think it was an interview with Zane Lowe, and he was like, "Yeah, this was meant to be this, and this was meant to be that," which is sad.
But this is what Kanye does
with everybody.
With every project.
You could even see. So when we were talking about on our first ep, when we were talking about Teyana Taylor's album, I had a lot of stick from people saying, "Oh, you don't respect Teyana, blah blah blah. Her album was wicked. It was this, that, and the other." And then she, with her own mouth, later came out and said, "That album that came out was not the album I recorded. That's not what I wanted. I didn't even like the album," kind of thing. There was bare songs that were cut off. Even the songs that were put on, that's not how it sounded the last time I heard it before it was cleared. So in the way it vindicated me, I was like, well, she didn't even like the album, so you don't need to chill out.
Yeah.
But like, Kanye, he's had that much of a, like, he's taking whole songs off of albums, rechanging the order, taking verses off. Like,
we could look at each album that Kanye has released, and we could actually pinpoint another artist that he's borrowed heavily from in terms of sound, and he's kind of left the artist in the dust.
Yeah.
So let's go back to
Travis. He's done it
before that. Oh, wow. I'm thinking of 808s and Heartbreaks.
Okay.
Who can we say that sound was very much heavily inspired by?
Cuddy? No.
Yes, Cuddy's one of them, and Mr. Hudson.
Oh yeah.
Where's Mr. Hudson now?
Yeah, he does that. He does that.
And I don't even like 808 and Heartbreaks. That's my least favorite Kanye album.
Worse than
for
Yeezus.
Me. Yes, worse than Yeezus.
Fair.
And when he came out with that new sound, because I remember at the time, we were young, but everyone was like, "Oh yeah, Kanye's new sound," you know, and everything. I was like, "This is so disingenuine or
disingenuous?"
Disingenuous, because I could tell that that's not his sound, and he's essentially stolen it from someone else.
Yeah,
and
it's like a leech.
Yeah, he's a sound leech. And then, so that's 808 and Heartbreaks, and then Yeezus with Travis. That was very much
heavily
Travis Scott's sound.
Heavily.
In fact, that was like a Travis produced project, and Kanye just rapped on it.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
And that was probably Travis at his peak as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as much as I love Yeezus, I hate that Kanye was the one that was able to bring that sound to the world and not Travis.
Yeah.
Because no one knew Travis then.
Yeah.
I barely
just
knew
after
Travis.
Days before, or
yeah,
I think it was just, or Al Faro days, I think it was around there.
Yeah. I barely knew Travis, but I just wish, because it was around the time of Rodeo that people were starting to, Walmart, you know, put two and two together, like, oh, we see back during Yeezus days, that's when they were acquainted and working together, and we're seeing the true originator of that sound. Mm-hmm. And then with The Life of Pablo, he's done the same with Chance, with the whole like gospel inspiration.
Even
and
Designer, poor kid.
And yeah,
he took a whole damn verse, a whole song, so, stuck it on the end of another song, signed him, and then dropped him. Like,
as much as I actually like Kanye as an artist, like, I'm realizing that, yo, I'm not here for his, like, I'm not really here for whatever he's trying to bring. And then this new Yandy that he's supposedly releasing.
One time for Yandy. I don't know if that's going to be the return of Yeezus Kanye, or is it a different type of
whatever
Kanye
it is. I know I liked Ye. I liked Ye, you know, his most recent project. Yeah. But I think I'm tired of Kanye right
that's
about
exactly
now.
That's exactly what I was saying. Everyone
I'm
was
tired
like,
Kanye,
leave us
right
alone, man.
I gave him a chance of Ye, and I enjoyed Ye, but I'm not really trying to hear much of
he's done
what
it
else. Yeah. which is unfortunate to say. I just had to take it back and like realize
every
like,
album along the way since My Beautiful Dark is someone has heavily influenced, and it's no surprise that every album since My Beautiful Dark has not been great. Like it's Kanye is the best Kanye when he influences everybody else rather than kind of drag someone to sit in a studio with him and say, okay, like we're gonna do this together, and then probably their best ideas he shuns and then, you know, keeps his bit, which sucks. But I'm more hopeful for the supposed Watch the Throne 2 than Yandy, because when it's just Kanye, he has scope to do rubbish, I guess. I don't know what his subject matter is going to be, what he could talk about between now and June. Didn't he just drop Yay in June?
Yeah, it was June. Yeah,
it's got, I think, 29th. That's not this Friday, but the one after is when Yandy's dropping. What could he? 29th. What could have happened in between, that time?
And remember, Ye was literally an album made 30 minutes before
honestly,
the drop.
I'm pretty sure he said his album cover was taken
shot
on
the way
to
the listening party.
I'm sorry, but like this, it's too haphazard for me. I can't deal.
Yeah.
But
do you know what I've realized? I feel like a lot of our faves are just going through this midlife crisis.
Is it a lot of them? Or is it just Kanye? Who else is doing this rubbish?
I wanted to say Jay-Z.
Oh, no, don't try it. No. Nobody could talk about Jay-Z to me. So he just dropped 444.
Not in terms of the music. But
oh,
like,
those pictures that you see, you need to respect Jay-Z. I saw your tweet about, you need to respect my guy.
I know.
The guy is near 50 years old, enjoying his life. He's got a wife. He's a dad.
With like the cheating and like the hilarious pictures that we're seeing.
He's a dad.
That's his own version of the midlife crisis. But yeah, I just like in general.
And then one where he's on the boat where he's got his arms like this, and I get upset when I see people disrespect.
I did tweet in that same tweet that you noticed that I have the utmost respect because he's my favorite rapper in the world.
Come on,
so let me not.
Please
get
respect
twisted.
Him immediately.
I do respect him.
That's Uncle Jay.
But in general, I feel like, you know, a lot of our faves are just...
That's what happens when you get old, man.
Like, yeah, it's old age,
they don't
man.
Care about
it's
impressing people our age and like, listen, like...
No, but Jay-Z's very much still got it.
100%, like, man. Sharp as a
every tech. Single album. I can't fault it. So, anyway.
But yeah, we'll see what Yandy's saying. Maybe by the next time... Wait, hang on. So, if it drops on the 29th and we drop every 2 weeks... That means our next ep will be dropping after Yandy. So I guess we'll have a lot of stuff to
We'll be talking about Yandy,
and I don't know when the...
We'll forcefully listen to it. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to listen to it regardless.
Yeah, it's not even a forceful thing. It's Kanye. Unfortunately, anytime he drops, I have to listen because it's Kanye.
Yeah, it's Kanye.
But we'll see what he does with it. Hopefully I'm happy rather than annoyed and sad. I'm scared that if he drops the ball again on this album... He's actually done out here with me personally, because he's not done out here yet with me, I guess.
Yeah.
But if he messes up this one, then
Kanye just needs to take a long break.
Yes.
I feel like that's all he needs. Shut up. He needs to take a long let people remember him as the revered artist that he was.
He's tarnishing his legacy, man.
Yeah, he's tarnishing his legacy.
Year by year, he's tarnishing.
What's this Instagram spree that he's been on?
Like, is he on Insta now?
Yeah. He got Insta a few like. Last year or 2 years ago, and then literally in the space of 1 week or 2 weeks, he's uploaded like 50 pictures of like screenshots, random shit. Like,
One of him when he commented on Drake's, you know, him and Drake are beefing, so he commented on Drake's picture. He's like, oh, would love to come to the tour or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
that
it
was
looks
so
fantastic. Like,
I mean, I saw some comments around that, like, oh, this is so like beggy, this is so corny.
Because he knows he doesn't want to smoke with Drake, unfortunately.
Yeah. Like, This supposed scandal that's like brewing, like Drake is supposed to like that he's hiding some information that can ruin Kanye's life.
Some people are saying it's because he touched Kim. I don't believe it. I don't think he did.
I don't believe it. I read this whole thread that went into like detail.
I got halfway
through
and I said, this is stupid. I'm wasting my... I was at work. I was like, I'm really here in work reading about a thread why Drake has been smashing Kim. No.
It didn't add up.
From
it was
what
doing
I
the anyway. Most to pick up pieces that just weren't like, it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But
I definitely... Drake obviously has some stuff on Kanye, and it definitely is family stuff, like personal stuff.
It seems, yeah.
But I don't think it's because... maybe, I don't know what, I don't know. I don't care, to be honest.
Regardless, I'd love to hear that information, not going to lie.
Well, just he's not allowed to put it out, is he? He's
just because I know of the impact it will make, it will just...
You're here for blood. Yes. You want war.
Yeah.
It's a blood sport.
I'm
hip-hop
not here
is a blood
for the small, no, no, small, small fights that are like beef. I want...
Like the MGK and Eminem thing.
I want some monumental beef.
I feel you.
Thank you.
But then when somebody now shoots somebody, it's a problem. So we just got to be careful about it. Because the last time we had monumental beef was it Biggie and Pac? So it's just a fine line to tread.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Keep it banter. But Kanye and Drake, nobody's shooting anybody. I'm so sorry. No one's shooting no one. So they can beef till the cows come home. But yeah, man. Anything else?
I guess that's it in terms of content. We don't want to put too much.
Yeah,
you know.
I know we've been away for a while, but at the same time, we don't want to flood you just because we've been away for a while.
Yeah.
But we're back to regular programming anyway. I ain't got no more holidays booked for this year, man. I'm done traveling.
And studio time is a lot easier now. Yeah, Our schedules seem to be
aligning better.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, back on course. We'll have some more content for ya. Yeah, man, keep it locked. I've never said that before. I feel like a radio host. Keep it locked into 105.1 Unit FM.
Yeah, I mean,
we're cutting that, by the way.
Okay.
Cut out.
with that being said, I suppose we can put them onto our On Spin this week. But before we do that, just a quick reminder that we are on Apple Podcasts as well as SoundCloud and a few other podcast apps out there, like for you Android users as well. So be sure to listen on any platform and rate and subscribe so that you get a notification when we come out with a new episode. Yeah. Whose On Spin is it?
It's mine, I believe.
Yours. Yeah.
So this week's On Spin is by an artist. It's actually a UK artist. I really like this song because it's quite different, but at the same time, so UK. His name's Kadiata. I hope I pronounced it right. He's a relatively new, I guess, artist. The song's called On Tap. So I hope you guys enjoy this.
All right, then. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Do it like that. Got a couple girls on tap. Hotel room, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. And a bus lady, it's a wrap. Every time I hear. Cute little snowflake from Manchester. Fuck a white thing for my ancestor. Sound like EDM on the mattress. This one's for the Beckys and the Francescas. Cashing hands on, queuing at the bankless. They wanna see a nigga on the gram flex. Talking about how you're gone, but you're my Andrix. Listening to Coldplay, counting bands, yes, yes. Romance, that they wanna hold hands. Upper hand, now they wanna throw hands. Yeah, we had sex to a slow down. Mean girl, look like Lindsay Lohan. Not again, oh man. She's fit, she might have a whole time. Busting up after she blow, man. Everything slow motion. Do it like that. Got a couple girls on tap. Hotel room, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Tell a bus lady, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Baby, why you look like you had enough? Got a place in my heart that's made for us. All these other things can't replace your loving. This one's for my newbie young queen. Turn a young gentleman into a fiend. Tell all my niggas I have a dream. Come through like Martin Luther King. Come through like Mallow from Tweenies. Baby girl, yeah, I'm looking for a beanie. DMs when they see me on the TV. E-roll thing, call me Habibi. Do it like that. Got a couple girls on tap. Hotel room, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Tell a bus lady, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Do it like that. Got a couple girls on tap. Hotel room, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Every time I hear from them. Tell a bus lady, it's a wrap. Every time I hear from them.